Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who are having great success. Today we are joined by Mr. Richard Conrad, an American who for the last 16 years has worked for a large U.S. money management firm researching, analyzing, and investing in Chinese and Japanese equities. He is the author of the best-selling book, Culture Hacks, Deciphering Differences in American, Chinese, and Japanese Thinking. Mr. Conrad, thanks for joining us this morning here on Enterprise Radio.
Thanks, Eric. Thanks for having me.
Now, you're more than welcome. Certainly looking forward to hearing from you today. Interesting topic as well. So for starters, a good place to start, what are some of the main differences in workplaces within the U.S. and Asia?
Well, the main difference is I believe it comes down to the way we think and that we reason and see the world in different terms. And that leads to the big difference in terms of the way we interact and communicate. So just to touch on those, Americans believe in absolute truth, whereas people in East Asia, Japan, China believe in relative truth. We tend to reason in a linear manner, subject to object, whereas Chinese tend to reason laterally, going from subject to subject depending on context. And in Japan, they actually reason by intuition. So that the way that folks think differently, I believe, leads to the biggest difference in the business environment.
And of course, the differences are quite interesting for sure. Now, why is it important for people in these cultures to understand these differences?
Well, so in my career, I've been in Asia for 25 years now. I've just watched a lot of Westerners, particularly Americans, misunderstand what's being said to them. For example, in Japan, the most frequent mistake I see is someone says, the Japanese person will say yes, and the American concludes that that means they're in agreement. But the Japanese person isn't saying, yes, I agree with you. They're just saying, yes, I understand you. Japanese very rarely will say the word no, for example, is another example. They'll say maybe. So when a Japanese person or a Chinese person, often they'll say maybe, or they'll say research. They like to say, we'll research it. In America, when we say maybe, it means maybe. It could go either way. In Asia, when they say maybe, it means no. It's basically a definite no.
And another interesting fact for sure, and important to know these differences as well. Now, how did these mindsets and differences develop? Talk to us about that from what you've seen.
So I've thought about this a long time. Can I tell you a quick story?
Absolutely. Would love for you to share.
I was in a train station in China, and there was the station attendant was yelling at this man that he had to pay a 10 renminbi fine because he had spit in the station, and he was refusing to pay her the money, but she told him, if you don't pay, you can't go on the train, and the whole crowd had gathered, we're all watching, and he pulled out two 10 RMB notes, 20 RMB, and she said, she got really angry, this fine for spitting is only 10 RMB. So he looked up, we all looked up, she looked up. We didn't know what he was looking up for, but then he went, and he spit at her feet, paid her 20 RMB, grabbed all his stuff, and then walked onto the train. And as I was sitting there watching that, I thought, wow, that's unusual. That would never happen in Japan. It would never happen in America. What went through his mind? How was he thinking? And I spent a lot of time studying it and learning, and I realized that it's lateral logic. They go from subject to subject. And about a year later, I was in Tibet, and I was watching the Tibetan people spinning their prayer wheels, and it all just hit me like an epiphany. In the West, we Americans, we Westerners, tend to believe that there was a beginning to time, that God said, let there be light. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. Or the scientific belief is, in the beginning, there was a big bang, and time has moved forward in a straight line, linearly, ever since then. So we have fixed points of reference, and we have absolute beliefs. We believe in one God, and we tend to proselytize that God. we believe in democracy and human rights, and we think these are absolute goods, so we try and spread them throughout the world. In Asia, it's completely different. They believe time is circular. And with circular time, there was no creation in the beginning. There's no starting point. It's just infinite universes coming in and out of being. And so there's no fixed reference points. And therefore, they don't believe in absolute truths. So, for example, you could go into a Buddhist temple in Japan, and in the corner, they could have a Shinto shrine to totally different gods. In the West, you could never go into an Episcopalian church or a Catholic church and see a shrine for Norse gods, for example, or Native American gods. We would never mix that way because we believe in absolute truth and theirs is relative truth. So to answer your question, it's because we believe in linear time, whereas for them, time is always circular. So there's never a fixed truth. It always depends on context.
Yeah, certainly some vast differences there shared and really some interesting information today. We are joined by Mr. Richard Conrad, an American who for the last 16 years has worked for a large U.S. money management firm researching, analyzing, and investing in Chinese and Japanese equities. He is the author of the best-selling book, Culture Hacks, Deciphering Differences in American, Chinese, and Japanese Thinking. And he's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of VPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, Mr. Conrad, continuing on, what is your number one piece of advice for those who conduct frequent business across the U.S. and Asia?
I think reading this book is really helpful because you can learn the differences in the way the different groups think, and then it leads to a much better understanding. Just to give a quick political example, in 2015, Xi Jinping was the president of China, was in the Rose Garden at the White House talking to President Obama, and he said, China has no intention of militarizing the South China Sea. And if President Obama's advisors understood relative truth, they would have known that as a guest at the White House, he wasn't going to say anything that would cause President Obama to lose face. The context was very important. But when he went back to Beijing and he's talking to his own people, he's going to have a very different truth there than he's going to have in the U.S. And so we misunderstood him and believed that China wasn't going to militarize the South China Sea. That sense of truth would be very helpful in differences in truth. In a business example, Chinese companies will often carry three sets of books. They'll have the set of books that you can see. They'll have a different set of books for the tax collectors. They'll have another set of books for their regulators. And then they'll actually have a fourth set of books, which is the real set of books. And so understanding that this relative sense of truth can lead to very different – so if you're dealing with Chinese companies or investing there, you have to realize that our sense of truth in accounting can be very different than their sense of truth in accounting.
If you would, Mr. Conrad, give us an example or two of when cultural differences could lead to a major business misunderstanding.
Well, for example, when Americans develop a business, it's a very linear process. It starts with a business plan, and then you figure out how much money is needed, raise that money, and then develop the business along the lines of the plan. The Chinese I think of the American style as ready, aim, fire. The Chinese are more of aim, fire, ready. They are very incremental. Instead of a business plan, they'll look at see how much money they have, and then they'll start investing, and then they'll see how the business goes, and from what they learn, they'll pivot, and they'll change the business. And so they could make decisions for their companies that would be very easy to misunderstand for American companies, and this can happen in joint ventures. It can happen for Westerners investing into Chinese companies. One example was a big screen maker. They make LCD screens for TVs or for phones, decided to go into the hospital business. And I was trying to ask this company, what's the connection between making screens and running a hospital? And because they don't have that linear process of logic, their lateral process, it went from we own huge factories in certain parts of China. This gives us great government contacts in those areas to get ownership of a state-owned hospital. You need the government contacts. They're great businesses if you can run them properly, so we're going to leverage our contacts and buy the hospitals. And I remember asking this company, what do you know about running hospitals? And their answer was, well, we'll figure it out. It's a completely different way of approaching business. And for joint venture companies in China where you're dealing with your Chinese partner, the way they're going to try and grow the business outside of what we in the West would think of as a logical direction for the business could be a huge sense of source of misunderstanding.
I'm sure you've seen quite a bit over two decades of being in Asia and doing business, and can't thank you enough for sharing your expertise here through your book and also with our listening audience briefly today. In conclusion, any closing thoughts, a takeaway, a tip, anything else you'd like to share as we wrap things up here today?
Well, I think it's just a recognition that there are different styles of thinking. No style of thinking is right. They each have their own strengths and weaknesses, and we can learn from each other. And as you do business in Asia, that building a team with folks from different backgrounds, with different styles of thinking, can be very helpful, not only in helping to navigate those different countries, but also helping your company to find solutions, creative solutions that people with an American background wouldn't naturally come up with.
Certainly appreciate those concluding remarks and for all the information shared here today. Thanks for your time. And I'm sure listeners want to know where they can pick up your book, Culture Hacks, and also how they could get more information on yourself. Where's the best place online to get these details?
The best place to buy the book would be on Amazon. They can look up Culture Hacks by Richard Conrad. And I'm on Twitter at CultureHacks1. Those are probably the two best places to go.
Well, that certainly works. Again, Mr. Conrad, all the best. And thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Again, we've been speaking with Mr. Richard Conrad, an American who for the last 16 years has worked for a large U.S. money management firm researching, analyzing, and investing in Chinese and Japanese equities. He is the author of the best-selling book, Culture Hacks, Deciphering Differences in American, Chinese, and Japanese Thinking. And for further details, simply visit genie.us/culturehacks, and this link will be included within the show notes of this broadcast. And again, this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.